Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Let's all turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. The scriptures will also be on the screen behind me. So this is the Apostle Paul writing or speaking to the church in Corinth. And he says in verse 1, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Everyone say uninformed. "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance or word of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." Today I'm going to speak to you on the subject of spiritual gifts. And I've titled the message, "Give What You've Been Given." Give what you've been given. In a little under 2 months, Christmas is soon going to be approaching us. So take this as your opportunity, your notification, your reminder to start preparing now. Prepare your list, write your list, check it twice. And what I love about Christmas, it's amazing how parents go out of their way when it comes to giving gifts to their kids. Growing up, mum and dad would start early. Mum would look at the catalogues early in the year. She somehow knew exactly what I needed, whether it be Transformers, toy trucks, anything West Coast Eagles related. Mum somehow knew just, and dad knew somehow, just what I needed. It gave them such great joy to give gifts. And so it is with all parents. There's something so special about giving your kids, giving even us generally, giving loved ones gifts. And so if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our own children, how much more our Heavenly Father in heaven gives good gifts to those who ask Him. We have a Heavenly Father who gives good gifts. He is so generous, and He gives out of His love, and He gives out of Himself to us all. One of the gifts that He's given us is life itself. He's given you life. Life is so precious. Hands up if you actually created your own life. Any hands? I don't see any hands. It's because life was not something that we created. It was given to us. It was gifted to us. Such a gift from God. God has also given us the gift of righteousness. He's given us the gift of forgiveness of sins. He's given us the gift of salvation. Hands up if you created that. Hands up if you did that by yourself. Any hands? What did we do to deserve that? Nothing. It was given to us because of His great love, because of His grace. He has given us all the gift of salvation because of the work of Jesus Christ. But it came at a great cost. It cost the Father His very own Son. It cost Jesus His very own life. But you were worth the cost. You were bought. Your sins were paid in full because of what Jesus did for us. Can you see how much of a good Father He is? He's blessed us with the gift of salvation. But the Father does not stop giving. Who knows if He just saved our sins, saved us from our sins, forgave us. That is more than enough to satisfy our eternal destiny, our eternal need. But He didn't stop there. Let's all turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And it says, "Repent and be baptized in every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." As Christians, as believers in Christ, we have all been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is the greatest gift that God has given. He gives us His very self to us. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is the very Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would only come upon a select few. He only came upon kings, priests, prophets, and some people who were chosen by Him for a specific purpose. But the heart of the Father was not for His Spirit just to be on a few select people. God is a God of love, and he wants to be in every single person. In Joel chapter 2, verse 23, the Lord declares that in those days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The Father wanted to give his very spirit to everyone. And because of the work of Jesus Christ, he has not just forgiven our sins and saved us from death eternally. The greatest thing he has given you, the greatest thing he has given me is his very spirit, his very self, his very life. It's amazing how in a loving relationship, two people can become one. And so we have become one with God. You have become one with God. His spirit now dwells within you. How beautiful is that? And so we see in the scriptures that we read, and we're going to go back into it shortly, that the Holy Spirit is the gift, but he continues to still give gifts. If you thought God had done enough and given enough already, there is more. So let's go back to the scriptures, and let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, start from verse 4. It says, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let's jump down to verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Can you see how the Spirit still gives? He's still giving gifts. It's the same God who empowers them in everyone. So who decides on the gifts? It's God, as he wills. And who is given the gift? Who is given the gift?
Us.
To each one, to each person. That means you. That means you. That means you. That means you. That means everyone. Turn to the person next to you and say, that means you. Turn to the other person and say, that means you. Turn to the person behind you and say, that means you. All right, now we're getting rowdy. It shows us that God wants to use you. God wants to use you. It's amazing how God chooses to use his own people for the work of the ministry. God chooses his own people to reveal himself to the world. The gifts are not for pastors, they're not for leaders, They're not meant for the super spiritual people. It is for everyone. And one of the key points that Paul is making, let's go back to verse 3 in 1 Corinthians 12. It says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So if we're believers, if you believe in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, which makes you spiritual. It makes us all spiritual, not just a select few. Have you ever disqualified yourself from being used by God? I have. Lord, what do I have to give you? The main thing I want you to get out of today, that the Holy Spirit wants to get into you today, is that you have not been disqualified. He's already given you gifts. He's already called you into the work of His ministry. And so there's another question that we need to ask. Why have the gifts been given? Why have the gifts been given? Firstly, we see that, and mainly it's for the Holy Spirit to actually reveal and manifest Himself to His people. Let's go back to verse 7. It says, to each is given the what? The manifestation of the Spirit. God wants to make Himself known. And we also see in that verse that the second reason He's given us gifts is for the common good. For the common good. And what this tells us is that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Himself for the common good. For the benefit of others. And so we see that we cannot actually separate the gifts from the Holy Spirit. The gifts operate through the manifestation of the Spirit. So everyone has been given the Spirit. You've been given the Spirit. You've been given gifts. And the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Himself through you for other people. How good is that? What a privilege and honor. Can you see how the Father does not stop giving? Salvation is not just about your sins being forgiven and you going to heaven. It's about being in an intimate relationship with God Himself by His very Spirit dwelling within you. And you get to actually be a carrier, a temple of the Holy Spirit in the world that you live in, the world we live in. The Holy Spirit can now get the opportunity to reveal Himself to others in and through you for their benefit. God does not stop giving. He's so generous, so generous. And we see that this writing of Paul, he was being very specific about the role of the Holy Spirit why the Spirit was being given and to whom the Spirit was being given to. Because in the church of Corinth at the time, the church was actually operating in the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit was moving. But unfortunately, people were using the gifts of the Spirit as their own badges of honor. Look how spiritual I am when I speak in tongues or have a word of prophecy. Look at what the Spirit is doing through me. And so in the church, there were actually some divisions that were happening at the time. It's like you had the spiritual elite and just everyone else. And so Paul's language was bring the gospel in to bring people united and unified as one body, to say that everyone who calls Jesus Lord has the Spirit. You are spiritual. And the Spirit has given gifts to everyone. Everyone is gifted. And we see that Paul's solution to the problem of division that the spiritual gifts were causing in the church was not to actually stop the gifts from operating within the church, but it was to call the people to be united and unified around Christ and around one Spirit. But somehow over the years, the church has put the gifts, opened that door and put the gifts into that corner. The fullness of the Spirit has not been able to be expressed. Have you ever felt at times that you've been hindered or repressed from expressing yourself? Whether in your family or at your workplace or at school. How much does it hurt when you can't really share or do what you would like to do? Because you've been put away in the corner. The Holy Spirit knows what that feels like. Too often in the church, the Holy Spirit is hidden away. We do not see the operation of the gifts in its fullness. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal Himself. He wants to express Himself. He has things He wants to say. He has things He wants to do through you for the benefit of others. And that is why in the church today, we do not see the gifts of the Spirit being outworked. Firstly, because not all the believers, not all of us are activated in our gifts. We've disqualified ourselves. I don't have anything to give. But the Holy Spirit wants to use everyone. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, it tells us, Paul again instructs the church there to do not quench the Holy Spirit. In the life of Jesus, He exemplified what it looked like to live a life full of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It reads that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus quotes from Isaiah and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Jesus' entire ministry was the ministry of the Spirit. It was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus describes in the book of John as the works of God. In John, let's go to John chapter 10. Verse 37 to 38. "If I do not do the works of my Father," I'm reading the Amplified, "that is the miracles that only God could perform, then don't believe in me. But if I am doing them, even if you don't believe in me or have faith in me, at least believe the works that I do and admit they are the works of God, so that you may know and keep on knowing clearly without any doubt that the Father is in me and I am in the Father and that I am one with him." The very works of God were meant to testify to the power, the work of God through Jesus. If you don't believe in me or my words, at least believe the works that I do. And it is this work which Jesus has commissioned us to do. He's commissioned you to do. In John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." When Jesus went to the Father, when he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended and came and empowered his people for the work of the ministry. Jesus had an expectation that we, his people, we who are part of his own body, would do the works that he would do, but not just that, greater works will ye do. All of this is only possible by and through the ministry of the Spirit. There is no other ministry than the ministry of the Spirit. Everything else is the ministry of the flesh. And the time has come, Numa South, to see the works of God, to see the works of the Spirit to see the Spirit manifest and reveal himself the way that he wants to without being repressed. The time has come. And so we learned that the gifts of the Spirit reveal the Holy Spirit. So let's actually take a look at those gifts a little bit more closely. So let's go back to verse 8 to 10. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance or word of wisdom, to another the utterance or word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Here we see Paul listing 9 gifts of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts, supernatural gifts. And did you notice how the word Spirit is repeated over and over again? Because it's the revelation of the Spirit. It's a revelation of God himself through his people, for his people. So we're going to spend a few minutes just briefly going through the gifts of the Spirit. There's a lot. We could spend all eternity talking about the gifts. The best way that we can think about the gifts are to break them up into 3 categories. Revelation, power, and speaking. These are all revelations of God himself, his very personhood and nature. So let's go through them. Let's start with the revelation gifts. So God is a God of revelation. He's a God who wants to make himself known. And he wants to be experienced. And so with the word of knowledge, this is God revealing his intimate knowledge of people, places, events, things for the benefit of others. Because it shows that God is all-knowing. And it shows that he actually cares and pays attention to us. We see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus knew the hearts and thoughts of people. He knew their motivations. He knew their needs. A great example of the word of knowledge being used in action by Jesus was with the woman at the well. Jesus met a woman at a well. She did not know him, but he knew her. He knew that she had multiple husbands over the years. And when Jesus shared that revelation with her, she actually thought he was a prophet. And her heart was opened up in that moment because of his knowledge to receive from Jesus the Messiah himself. The word of knowledge has such a beautiful way of opening up people's hearts to show that God knows and cares and still loves. Then with the utterance, a word of wisdom, we know that God is wisdom himself. And wisdom is the practical application of knowledge or the word of God or the revelation of God. Wisdom is like a directive in any given situation. And we see this operating in Jesus all the time. He was full of wisdom. He often dumbfounded all the Pharisees, all those people who knew the law so intimately. And we see an example when a woman was caught in the very act of adultery. They brought her to Jesus. And they try to put Jesus into a box with the law that he gave. Lord, she was caught in the very act of adultery. The law says she must be stoned, rightfully so. But Jesus, in his wisdom, in his practical application of the word, brought a directive that changed everything for the woman and everyone around. He said, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." He gave them a directive. Go, cast a stone. No one did. And you can see how wisdom of God's word being applied correctly brought life to a woman who was condemned to die. But it also convicted sin in everyone else. And next we see the discernment of spirits. The Holy Spirit is truth, and he reveals truth. And so the Holy Spirit, with the gift of the discernment of spirits, equips the believer to see into the spiritual realm. It's like he pulls back the curtains from our natural, physical view to see into the spiritual realm. And he exposes evil spirits so that a person can experience breakthrough from bondage. We see this all through the ministry of Jesus with his healing and deliverance ministry. He set so many people free from captivity, from bondage. Jesus often identified demonic influences that were affecting people. If you know the healing of the woman who was bent and hunched over for 18 years, Jesus called out a spirit of infirmity that was actually oppressing her. But it didn't mean that every healing was caused by, health issue was caused by a demonic influence. But the spirit, the gift of discernment actually revealed what was truly happening in that moment. Next, we see the power gifts. This is where God reveals his awe, his wonder, his powers, his sovereignty over all things and all circumstances. The gift of faith. We all have faith. We all are given faith to believe and come to know him. But the gift of faith is a little different. We all have faith in God, but this is the faith of God given to us in a particular moment, situation, to believe and have faith for extraordinary things. The impossible becomes possible. And we see this when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Talk about needing faith. The faith of God to believe that someone would rise from the dead. This gift also inspires, encourages, and releases faith into other people as well. We then see the gift of healings. The gift of healing is God demonstrating that he has all control over our bodies, our minds, that he can restore every sickness, every disease, every infirmity that we have, that you have. It goes beyond the realm of natural and physical healing in the physical sense of going to your doctor. It surpasses medical intervention. Jesus healed a lame man from birth. There was nothing anyone could do at that time. And today, there's often nothing that can be done as well. And we need to see the Holy Spirit heal people. Then the final power gift is the gift of miracles. These are supernatural demonstrations of God by which the laws of nature are altered, suspended, or controlled. We know that Jesus rebuked and controlled the storms when the disciples were out on sea. Just with a word, everything stopped. Everything stopped. Then we move to the speaking gifts. It actually shows that God wants to communicate to us. He still communicates to us today. We see, firstly, with the gift of tongues. It's the power to speak supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, to either utter mysteries in the Spirit or to speak languages, human languages that are not known to us or to that person. And generally, this is a message that's a message given in another tongue at a gathering or a corporate setting. And this gift actually requires the gift of interpretation to be partnered with it. And with the gift of interpretation, it's essentially interpreting the unknown language that someone is speaking to reveal and declare what God is saying through that. And then in that declaration of the word into a language that someone actually understands, this is what we call prophecy. This is what we call God speaking to his people, an aspect of prophecy. And with the gift of prophecy itself, it's a message from God to be given to someone to build them up, to encourage, and to give them comfort. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that he that prophesies speaks to men to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, where Paul is telling Timothy to go back to the prophecies that were given to him about the gifts that were imparted through him, through the utterance, the speaking of prophecies over his life, so that he will be rebuilt, he will be encouraged to continue with his ministry. Can you see how all these nine gifts are supernatural in nature? Can you see how awesome they actually are? Do we see them in the church today in its fullness? Not as often as we should. But these are incredible gifts of the Spirit to reveal the Spirit to us. Does anyone get excited by just going through that? Does anyone's faith get encouraged? So it's clear that God has given you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given you gifts. The Holy Spirit has given you supernatural gifts to reveal Himself for the good of others. And so, just like Christmas Day, it is time to unwrap your gifts. It's time to give what you have been given. And there's four things that we can do to actually grow in the giftings God has given you. So hands up, who has been given a gift from God? I should see every hand being lifted. Whether you know it or not, you have a gift. So how do we grow in the gifts? First and foremost, we seek the giver of the gifts. It's the Holy Spirit. He is the main thing. He is the main one, the only one for me. And so we have to grow in our relationship with Him, with the person of the Holy Spirit. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, how am I growing in my relationship with the Holy Spirit? Am I growing in my intimacy and knowing of Him? Jesus only did and said what He saw the Father do and say. He had such an intimate relationship through the Spirit of God with the Father. And that's what we are all called, how we are all called to live, in such intimacy with Him. That is why the disciplines of prayer, reading the Word, spending quality time with Him is so important. So we hear His voice and we know His voice. The second thing we can do is learn, serve, and grow in our church community. So what were the gifts for? Who were they for? The common good for each one of us. And so the gifts are given for us to serve one another with. Your gift is not about you. It's not about your ministry. It's not about your reputation. It's about serving other people. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so the question we need to ask is, how am I growing in my service to one another, to each other? How am I serving my fellow brother, my fellow sister? And the best place to start is to serve within your home. Serve within the house of God. Join a team. Learn to serve. It actually conditions and trains us to give aside and set aside our own needs, our own desires, to serve one another. Get involved in newer discipleship. Get discipled. We're all called to be discipled, disciples of Jesus. Come to our prayer gatherings. Get involved in the church family, the church community, because that is where we are called to serve one another. And what I love is that in the family of God, we get a place where we can actually like use and learn how to grow in our gifts. You don't just know everything straight out of the womb. It takes time to grow and to learn and to mature as a child to an adult. And so we start walking or crawling somewhere. And let's start in the very house of God. And what I love is that the gifts that are in your life, which you may not recognize, others will see. Others can call it out in you. The third thing in how we can grow in our gifts is that it must be done out of love. Everything must be motivated and done out of love. In the very next chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks all about love. He's not saying that for your wedding. He's not saying that for my wedding to come. He was preaching that to the church of Corinth, who were using the gifts for their own self-service, for their own self-promotion. They were not using the gifts to serve one another or to love one another. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not boast, it doesn't envy. These are the qualities that we must operate and minister and serve one another with, in and through love. He also states that if I have all the gifts, I can do all the things. It's all meaningless if I don't have love. Because if we don't have love, it shows we don't fully have God within us. And it's because we have the fullness of God within us, the fullness of His love, we must be expressing everything that we do, not just ministry, our life must be expressed out of love, or else it is meaningless. And the final thing, the final way in which we can grow in the gifts of God is by taking steps of faith. Little steps of faith. So we've just learned that we've all been given gifts. Now comes the part where we actually have to take steps. It doesn't have to be big steps, but little steps of faith to grow, to learn, to serve with those gifts. And so can you see how Paul has expectation, because Christ has expectation that everyone will be equipped to do the work of God, to reveal Him to others. That means you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to steward the grace and the gifts that God has given us.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.